Hello and welcome to our broadcast. Today we will conclude the message on the mountain that Jesus presented in Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7. Have your Bible ready if you can. Number 13 of chapter 7, it says, "Enter ye in." Jesus said, "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." We have said repeatedly in this series concerning the Sermon on the Mount that Jesus is speaking only to his disciples here. He said their Father was in heaven several times. He said they were the salt of the earth, the light of the earth, and he's only talking to Christians here, and it is to Christians that this portion of Scripture refers to. Whether you're going to walk the broad way or the narrow way, that you have no choice but to choose. The majority of people who name the name of Jesus Christ are very content to walk the broad road. Well, for those who will walk the narrow way, the first thing he said to them was, beware. Verse number 15, beware of false prophets. Then he said in verse number 16, ye shall know them. And again he said in verse number 20, wherefore by their fruits ye shall know them. Ye shall know them. Now it says ye. Who is he talking to? Not to that crowd at the bottom of the mountain. He is talking to those few people who say, yes, we're going to walk the narrow way. To those people, God has promised discernment, and only to those people. John chapter 7 and verse number 17, Jesus said, if any man will do his will, he shall know the doctrine, whether it be of God. And that is simply the way it is. You make the right choices, you get discernment from God. If you're going to walk the narrow path, you're going to walk that broad way, you're going to walk in ignorance. It says in Psalm 111, verse number 10, a good understanding have all they that do his commandments. Now in verse number 16 through 18, what he's saying here is for those Christians who will walk the narrow way, they're not going to have any trouble recognizing what is obvious. It says here in verse number 17, even so every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Now this portion of Scripture needs a little bit of explanation. Once again, the Lord is not referring to those who are saved and those who are unsaved, and neither is he referring to the lake of fire in this portion of Scripture for unsaved people. In John chapter 15, Jesus said to his disciples, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me, now notice those words, I'm in John chapter 15, verse number 2, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. We're talking here about someone who is in Christ, and some are bearing fruit, and some are not bearing fruit. And so in verse number 2, he refers to those that are bearing fruit. He purges them that they may bring forth more fruit. And he says down in verse number 8, herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. And now it is to his disciples that he says in verse 4 of John chapter 15, abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. He's talking to his disciples. He's talking to the men that have been traveling with him for 3.5 years. He said, now you need to abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye cannot can do nothing. And he said, if you don't abide in me, if a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Now, we're not talking about salvation here. We're talking about service. And it's what Paul talked about when he said he kept himself in check, lest he should be a castaway, that is, lest he should be set aside and not having the privilege of bearing fruit for the Lord. And those that are going to bear fruit for the Lord are those who are going to enter into the narrow way and walk that path. Now, back in chapter 7 of the book of Matthew, Jesus said here again in verse number 20, he said, wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. By their fruits. By the fruits ye. Who are they? Those that are on the right road. Those that have chosen the narrow way. To those Christians, and to only those Christians, does the Lord promise discernment. Now, in verse 21 to 23, it's talking about unsaved people who are trying to use good works as a reason to enter into heaven. He says in verse 21, and not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of the Father, which is in heaven. Many, many, he said, will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name have done many wonderful works? Then will I profess unto them, Jesus said, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity, ye that work iniquity. Now, they can say, Lord, Lord, all they want. He says, I never knew you. Now, what is happening here is they are trying to get into heaven by their good works. Well, verse 21 says it's not doing the works of God, it's doing the will of God that makes the difference. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Not the works, the will. Well, then in verse number 24, he says, Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built a house upon a rock. And he makes a comparison in verse 26, and every one that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be like unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And so here we have two different choices once again. He that heareth and doeth, and he that heareth and doeth not. Now, the majority, by far the majority, of fundamental independent Baptist Christians who will sit in church next Sunday, 90% of those at least will do nothing for God during the week. 10% or less do all the things for God that are getting done in those churches. 90% sit there, they hear the word, and they do not. They don't do it. They just, oh, that was a nice little message. Oh, that was a nice little special. Did you notice that nice little song that she sang? That was so sweet. That was such a blessing to my heart. Well, what about you being a blessing to somebody else's heart for a change? Therefore, he says, he that heareth and doeth shall be the wise man. That's the small majority of most of our churches. And everyone that heareth and doeth not, he is the foolish man. Well, it's interesting in verse number 25, the storms are coming. It says, the rain descended, and the floods came, and the wind blew, and beat upon the house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon the rock. Well, we find that in the other house that's built on the sand, the rain descended in verse 27, and the floods came and the winds blew and beat upon the house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Well, in both cases, you're going to have a rainstorm here. In both cases, it's a battle. So we got the idea that, you know, I'm going to walk this narrow road and everything's going to be sunshine and roses. No, everything's going to be storms. Check Acts chapter 27 and see how Paul made out in that storm that he was in there. All of his life was a storm, and he said, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Well, we read in verse number 28, and it came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine. Now, you have that word, the people, and sometimes, you know, we get the idea that, well, that means a whole big crowd. Well, that word, the people, that has been translated from the Greek 7 times in our King James Bible. It's been translated company, the company, were astonished at his doctrine. In fact, in Luke chapter 6, verse number 17, it talks about the company of his disciples. And quite often in the New Testament, you'll find the word company associated with the local church, not with the people in the sense that it's a crowd of people out there that were astonished. No, it was those disciples that he was talking to that were astonished. The dictionary says to be astonished is to be impressed were amazed. And so the Lord had obviously made a great impression on these disciples. Verse 29 says, "For he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes." Well, we read in chapter 8, verse number 1, "When he was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him." Great multitudes followed him. Well, the whole message began in Matthew chapter 5. It says, "Seeing the multitudes, he went up into the mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth, and he taught them." Well, now he says, "When he came down from the mountain, great multitudes followed them." Well, there is multitudes. They were following him. They thought he was just doing a great thing and healing all their sick people and raising the dead, and they even liked to listen to some of his sermons, but they weren't going to be one that would hear and then do. They were going to be those that would hear and not do. In John chapter 6 and verse 2, it says, "The great multitudes followed him because they saw the miracles which he did on them that were diseased." Yeah, this multitude came to him in verse 28 of John chapter 6 and said, "What shall we do that we might work the works of God?" And the next two words in the next verse is, Jesus answered. He did. He answered them and he told them what they the truth to the question that he asked. And in verse 66, we read, "From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will ye also go away?" Not only did they go back and walk no more with him when he gave them the facts, we read down in the next chapter that Jesus walked no more in Galilee because the Jews sought to kill him. Well, as we conclude this series on the mountain, this message that Jesus preached, we've said before, as you study the Bible, we should look at it for observation, interpretation, and application. And what we want to do is make a few applications. We see here, first of all, the multitudes in chapter 5 and verse number 1. Seeing the multitudes. The word multitude is mentioned 16 times in Matthew. And what was the response of Christ? "Get those disciples of his separate from them. Get up on the mountain and teach the teachable." Now, we certainly should be interested in reaching the multitudes for the Lord. However, what we find here is that Jesus took those teachable people up in a mountain separate from that crowd, and he taught them. And that's what church should be all about. We got the idea that, well, let's just have more and more and more of that crowd into the church. Well, they just may influence some sincere Christians if you get a big crowd of goats in amongst the sheep. Nowhere in the scriptures is someone ordered to come to church to get saved. We are commanded to go out there and reach them outside, bring them in and teach them all things whatsoever the Lord taught us. Well, we not only have the word multitudes, but we have the word few. That's found 7 times in the book of Matthew. And here in chapter 7 and verse 14, Jesus said, "Few there be that find it." That is, few there be that find that narrow road, because few are looking for it. It says in chapter 9 and verse 37 that the laborers are few. And that is exactly what's going on today in our churches. The laborers are few. 90 to 95% of the people sit in church and do nothing. Well, the number of people sitting listening to somebody preach on a Sunday morning is absolutely no way to determine whether a church is successful or not. In fact, we read in the 7 churches there in the Revelation, the church at Philadelphia, God highly commended them in chapter 3 and verse 7. He said, "Thou hast a little strength and has not denied my name." There's what a successful church is. In Smyrna, he commended them. He said, "I know thy poverty, but thou art rich." Rich in the things that were important, not a whole lot of things. And then we have the church at Pergamos. He said, "Thou holdest fast my name and has not denied my faith." There's success. Get to the church of the Laodiceans, and what do we find? Oh, it's increased in number, and it's very rich. And Jesus stands outside at the door knocking because he's not welcome in there. Well, those disciples came down off that mountain, and they walked the narrow path. Which path are you walking?